My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're just rolling in on a Tuesday. Kind of a rolling start, not exactly flying out of the blocks. Rooster was in here distracting me, telling me tales of Linnell's terrible picks. I realized I didn't export any of the graphics for the YouTube stream. I, in starting the show, knocked over my my light here that's trying to make me look better. That's honestly, Anthony, how I've kind of felt all Tuesday. It's I am dragging today. I need to, in the first break here, go to the kitchen and see what kind of caffeinated beverages we have. I don't typically drink caffeine in the afternoons. In fact, at 4 o'clock, I might just, I don't know. I'm just letting the audience know where we are. It's a vibe check Tuesday, and the vibe is we're trying our best. We're trying our best.
Craig, you are not alone. I, too, will accompany you to our little kitchen area.
We might do the next segment from the kitchen. We might just call in to my own show, be like, I can't make up my mind. I need more time.
Yeah, I think I need to get some candy. I need like a sugar rush.
A sugar high, famous part of the show.
Yes, I need one really bad.
My water bottle's empty.
Long day. Oh, no water?
Yeah. I'm just
it's a lot struggling. Going on over
We're
there.
Not struggling as much as Linnell, though, apparently, with what Rooster just told me. Do you know how bad his picks were in week one? Not against the spread, straight up.
I guess they were worse than mine.
Way worse.
Whoa, that's a
yeah,
little
you
concerned.
Finished, you finished under 500, didn't you? You finished
I did.
7-8.
Seven and nine. Because yesterday.
That's right, 7-9 after the Jets lost on Monday Night Football. And he was worse than that, Anthony.
Yeah. So I didn't know you could be worse than me, to be honest.
He forgot to pick a game for one. So they picked 15 because they did this Friday after the Thursday night had already happened.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Linnell went 4-10.
And he probably had the Ravens winning on Thursday as well. So he really could have gone 4-11.
Yeah, he got lucky that they didn't.
Yeah.
I don't understand with the games that happened this weekend how you pick 11 wrong games.
Yeah,
like, the 2023 playoff teams were undefeated against non-playoff teams from last year. So if you just pick the teams that everyone thinks are good because they were good last year, you automatically are better than that.
Yeah. Unless, you know, one of those teams is playing the team you cover and you're super passionate about and you have so much faith and belief in, and then they go out there and let you down.
That's one game.
That is only one game.
Now I have to go back. We'll get to the calls and we'll do vibe check in a second. I'm sorry. I can't let this go. All right, Eagles, Packers, you could pick wrong easy. I did. It's one of the few ones that I did. Because I finished the week 12-4, in case anyone's counting. Yeah. Commanders and Bucks, fine. Steelers, Falcons, fine. Cardinals, Bills, I mean, I guess you did. Titans, Bears, I guess you could get wrong if you hate Caleb Williams. Patriots, Bengals, totally understandable. Colts, Texans, okay. Jags, Dolphins, I mean, I guess. Panthers, Saints, if you picked that one wrong. Vikings, Giants, I mean, you picked it wrong, but I really didn't think that should have been that hard. Sorry, yeah. Ant. I know it's hard, but like, it is what it is. Chargers, Raiders, I guess you could go wrong way in that. Seahawks, Broncos, if you didn't get that one, like, what are we doing? Cowboys, Browns, I guess. Rams-Lions, I guess. I guess I understand how you could have that bad of a week.
It was also week one, and I think
you can't
put too much stock into week one.
No, but that's a really bad week of picking games.
Yeah, 4-11 is extremely bad. 4-12, you know, is a little bit worse, but, you know, they didn't have that game. But, yeah, that's
good, Anthony. Not that, look.
Not good.
Our job, I think a lot of times people reduce this job to picking games. And you're not a good sports talk show host if you just are good at picking games. You're a good gambler, potentially. That's a skill you could put to use to make money in a way that pay you more than being a radio host, let me tell you. And that's not to say that, like, the ability to have the knowledge and see the game to understand who might win isn't a valuable skill. But as I said last week, if all you do is come for the graphic, you're actually missing the best part of the show, which is the explanation, right? If you listen to a guy like Dan Orlovsky or Nate Tice, and you're like, as I continue to knock stuff over because that's apparently the theme of the day, just I need a protective bubble around me at all times. If you listen to a guy like Nate Tice and you're like, that guy doesn't know anything about quarterbacks because he ranked Caleb Williams behind Jaden Daniels behind Drake May, and you don't listen to all the reasons why he likes Drake May, but also likes Jaden Daniels and how those skill sets might work in different situations, like, you've actually missed the point. So as much as I want to make fun of Linnell, and I will make fun of Linnell for going 4-10, because that's a horrendous week of picking games for someone who pays attention to the league, that doesn't actually mean that we're not going to take that and say Linnell is bad at his job. He is really bad at picking games, though. And that is actually a hilariously classic thing that I have said to Linnell's face, including on the air, so I'm not betraying confidence here. I think Linnell does a ton of homework and is really smart and, like, always finds interesting angles and information, and he gets really good data and then comes to the silliest conclusions with that data that I've ever heard in my life. That is the quintessential Linnell experience. And to be able to look at all the games, decide what's important, talk about it in a way that's entertaining and informative, and then pick the wrong team is actually perfect. I have no notes.
I mean, I think you did a great job of summing it up. I think you did.
It's my job, Anthony. I talk for a living and knock stuff over. A+ on both so far.
Still to come on the Hoffman Show.
All right, on this very silly radio show today, here's what we got. A Vibe Check Tuesday at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. How are you feeling? Let's talk about our feelings after the Commanders' week one loss to the Buccaneers. It's also a Tischler Tuesday. Mitch at 5. A Take Command Tape Tuesday as well. 5:30, the breakdown of the film from myself and Logan of Jaden Daniels' first ever day at the office. Our NFL tiers return on Tuesdays this year as well. So we're loaded up here.
Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Today on Take Command, Logan Paulson said one of the most humble things I've ever heard a football analyst say. And it was a good reminder to me, and hopefully a good reminder to all of you. And that is how we're going to start our Vibe Check Tuesday. Of course, you can get in on the action at 301-230-0980. And that thing that Logan Paulson said today was specific to some football stuff, in that he was talking about the drops that Jaden Daniels has in this offense and how they time up with the routes, which gets really nerdy really quickly, but every offense has a timing. Hey, when the back foot hits, you know, this guy should be here, should be X in the route progression. You know, his quarterback's eye should be here. And it's all a little bit different scheme to scheme where a coach or an OC, in this case, head coach, whoever it is that's designing and installing and implementing the offense, wants their guys to be, the receivers as well. And when it comes to Kyle Shanahan's tree of coaches in the West Coast system, Logan knows that like the back of his hand. He knows exactly where he wants his quarterback's eyes to be. He knows where the receivers should be. He understands when the ball is supposed to come out in literal exact timing. And I watch tape like some of you do, and certainly a lot of folks do on the internet, and I am getting inundated with it right now. My Twitter feed is a mess of people who have access to and are watching tape and don't have a damn clue what to do with any of it. And Logan was like, I'm pretty sure that like when I used to run this concept in this system, like this is what I would have, or I know the quarterback should be looking at, and as a receiver, I would have needed to be here. And the read operated like this. But I'm not 100% sure that that's this way in Cliff's system. And the money quote, the thing that I just literally stopped me in the middle of the podcast and I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience, was when Logan said, my analysis is going to get better as the year goes and I learn this system. And while there's certainly a lot more to a Vibe Check Tuesday than, hey, we all need to reserve every bit of judgment about everything because we're just getting to know this coaching staff. Like, no, let it rip on the phones. Like, let's go. Let's have a Vibe Check Tuesday. We did this last year. We know how this goes. And it really is like an emotional check-in on how we feel about the team. Are we willing to, after a day of like yelling about whatever the hot thing that we felt mad about or happy about on Sunday, like, do we still feel that way with a couple days to sleep on it? Have we felt an inch of optimism return as we look ahead and see the New York Giants next on the schedule? Whatever it is that you feel, again, this is the day where I certainly am not going to tell you how to feel. I hope to never really tell you how to feel. I just sometimes will question why you feel a certain thing and poke and prod and you know, explore the space a little bit, because that's much more interesting than being like, let's go to John. John, rah, 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 rah. Thanks, John. Let's go to Barry. Barry, rah, rah, rah. Like, no, we're going to have a discussion and do the thing that we do. But I would say for me, like, my vibe check on this Tuesday is to check myself. To go, okay, there's things that I saw on tape that I like. There's things that I didn't like. But I am checking myself today. My vibe check Tuesday check, if you will, is to look myself in the mirror and demand the same humility that my podcast partner has, who has every right to be far more not humble than me because he actually played 10 years in the league. And while I've been covering the league for almost 10 years at this point, I've had a lot of great conversations and done a lot of shows with a lot of smart people and have had the great fortune of working with Logan now for 3 years and have a, I would say at least I know enough to be dangerous when it comes to watching the tape. And there's a reason I spend the time to do it. I do think that, you know, the more you learn, the more you understand, like, we don't know everything. And it's really important to say, this is very likely what happened, but we don't know for sure unless you've done the reporting to make sure. And that is something that I want to try to hold myself to, especially early in the season as we get to learn this system, especially on the offensive side where maybe some of the things that are read out in a certain way in the past are a little bit different now. And the good thing is, though, with all that said, with all those, you know, if you want to call them caveats, reservations, whatever, I do think a lot of the things that I felt yesterday are still true. There's just some of the details, some of the specific plays where I'm like, no, okay, I see it your way, or I see it a different way. I see that, if not straight up, I'm like, oh no, I see what you're saying. That changes my mind, and I'm willing to have that open-mindedness, or at the very least, like, hey, this is the possibilities that exist, and maybe I should give more weight to possibility B, or what I initially thought possibility B was, than possibility A. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. How are you feeling after the Commanders' week one loss to the Buccaneers? We'll get to the phones in just a minute. Anthony, though, what is your vibe as I check in with you here on Vibe Check Tuesday?
I'm more so... I would say I'm not as... I think watching the game on Sunday, I was very upset, very overreactive. But having a chance to, you know, allow a day or two, you know, go by. I'm more so, I think we got things to work on, but I'm not that upset. I feel like a lot of the things that happened, we sort of kind of like knew where we struggle, and it sort of kind of got exploited on Sunday, so I can't be too upset. But there were a couple of things that I did, you know, like that we were able to do. I think coming into the season, a lot of people worried about whether or not Jaden Daniels will be able to, you know, avoid sacks. And I think he did a good job on Sunday of getting out of those pressure situations and not allowing himself to be sacked. I think last season that was a more frustrating thing with Sam. He just always ended up getting sacked. He couldn't, you know, escape and things of that nature. So that was one thing. I think the run defense.
Real quick on that point, I would say not only is it the ability to escape, it's not inviting pressure. Like, he got the ball out quick. He was able to consistently make a decision to say, okay, I got to get the ball out now, or I got to run, or I got to fade in the pocket. And actually, sometimes he probably moved a little too quickly off of stuff where you got to be a little more willing to take a hit, even if it's not a sack. But like the first scramble, you know, yesterday when I talked about it, I was like, you know, that first scramble I'm fine with. And Andrew Wiley gets beat fairly quickly, but he really could probably fade a step in the pocket and he's got Terry McLaurin wide open on a crosser. And there's actually a couple guys open on that play. And you watch veteran and you say like, well, hey, man, like you got immediate pressure. Like Wiley, like, yes, Wiley needs to be better on that play. Yaya Diaby, you know, had a hell of a first half and really a hell of a game. Like that kid can play. He's got some juice. But by the same token, you watch like a Matthew Stafford operate and it's boom. Oh, crap. My guy lost. 1-2 step back off platform. Hit the crosser. He's wide open. You got time. And like what? And the other big point that Logan made, and you'll hear this more in depth in an hour when we play the Tape Command Tape Tuesday, Jaden Daniels breakdown, which is going to be something we do weekly on Tuesdays at 5:30, is understanding like what NFL open is, that it is not as open as it was in college and it doesn't happen for long. And like, you have to understand based off body position and some of these things that a DB does, what DBs are dangerous and what DBs are not going to be a factor if you just put the ball where it needs to be. And like that first third down, the third and 21, is a really good example of that, where he could have gotten a ball out. He ran instead. And there's a couple of other plays in the game that are like that, where, you know, that's the truth is, rewind yesterday, tell the truth Monday. The truth is, Jaden should have made more throws and scrambled less. The opportunities were there. The second part of that truth, though, is scrambling's a lot better than taking a sack. And we see the benefit of him scrambling compared to what we saw with the offense, as you mentioned, last year.
Yeah, so I think that's one thing. And me even mentioning, you know, that about Jaden, I think, before, you know, coming into the season, I personally just felt we weren't, you know, going to make the playoffs, you know, and that this season is more so just going to be focused on the progression of Jaden Daniels. Now, if Emmanuel Forbes hit, that's a plus. If Brandon Coleman hits, that's a plus. But the overarching theme is more so Jaden Daniels' growth and development. And I think I saw what I needed to, like, necessarily see. You know, he's going to learn from this game. But as long as he continues to improve, I think that's really all that matters. And then another thing that I really liked from the game that I was happy about was the run defense. I don't think that got enough credit because I think they did have two big running plays. I think Bucky ran for like 23. And then
Bucky Irving averaged like 7 a carry.
Yeah, but
limited carries. But like he did, he had a good day. But yeah, they did a pretty decent job on Rashad White. I think the problem with the running defense, I'll let you finish here. But like basically is when they needed to stop late, they couldn't get
one. That was the problem. Yep.
So the problem. The bad taste in your mouth. One thing, like, here's a great example of why you don't overreact to week one that Logan brought up, and like this is why Logan's the best. Is Logan said, based off of what he had seen from Liam Cohen in the past, he would have prepared for like duo, inside zone, outside zone, and I think he's a power or counter. Those four runs would have been the ones that he would have made sure his D-line and front seven was super prepped for. And they came out, they ran a bunch of wham and a bunch of trap, which are designed to take advantage of aggressive fronts, which the Commanders are. And if you are expecting duo, let's say, which is like a man-to-man blocking scheme, straightforward run play, think halfback dive on Madden. If you're expecting duo and you're the three technique, you're John Allen, and you get quick penetration, you're like, yeah, I'm about to make a tackle for loss. And then you have either a trap or a wham, which means the guard from the other side, as you about to go take that step to go make your tackle for loss, you're getting smashed in the face by a pulling guard. And that's what they did on some of those big runs. And so that's why coaching, like, we talk about NFL football and the game planning, all that kind of stuff. Like, good luck in week one with any of that stuff. It's a giant guessing game. Now, if whoever Tampa plays in week two is probably going to prep a little bit of trap and a little bit of wham and be like, hey, be on the lookout for this. This is how we're going to play this. This is how we're going to pass this stuff off. You know, hey, Bobby Wagner or whoever their Tampa's week two opponent's middle linebacker is. If you gotta be alert. And if you see that our guy get whammed, you got to cover for him. Or however it is that the defense is going to play that. And so those are the kinds of things where you're like, man, sometimes you just get got because the other coach does something that is smart and that you wouldn't expect from them because it's not kind of in the identity that you imagine for them. And when it's week one, you don't even know what that identity is. So it's a giant guessing game. So that's a good like humility reminder of week one and why we don't read too much into it and why we should definitely wait to draw any grand conclusions on this team moving forward. 301-230-0980. Got a couple callers on the line, but plenty of phone lines open. We check in with you on our Vibe Check Tuesday next. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Team 980 listener lines, 301-230-0980. How are you feeling after the week one loss to the Bucks? That is the question. Time to get your answers. Let's get things started with Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, you are on the Hoffman Show.
Hello, Craig. How are you? Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Gary. You as
my
well?
My level of concern. All right. Thank you. I am concerned because, you know, I called your show a couple months ago, right after the free agent signings, and
oh yes, Gary,
I really was concerned.
I remember. I think we all remember.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was that famous.
Yeah,
but I was concerned about the free agent signings. I didn't think that they moved the needle at all. Okay, and I said that if we put them on the team last year, we would still be a 4-13 team. I think the free agents yesterday, on Sunday, they were a big flop. Okay, and I realized that the contracts are not onerous, that we can get out of them, but that's really why my level of concern for the team this year was at 5-12, and I think that's exactly where they're going to be this year, 5-12. Largely because the free agents are not going to be what a lot of people thought. But as far as Jaden Daniels is concerned, I'm pleased with him. Okay, I don't think he messed all over himself. I don't think the moment was too big for him. And like it was said right before the break, the key here is developing him this year. If they are 5-12 and he looks the part and he's doing what he needs to do to advance as a quarterback, that's a successful season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you're saying, Gary. I want to double click because I'm curious, and I'm not looking to like bite anybody's head off or fight over what tell you like the free agents actually played awesome. I'm just curious, like anybody in particular that you were maybe surprisingly disappointed in terms of the performance of the free agents on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought we would get more out of Frankie Louvu. Okay, I saw Bobby Wagner look old. Okay, I mean he can still tackle somebody, but he looked old. Okay, and on one play he just got shaken out of his shoes. Okay, he looked old going sideline to sideline. Okay, and my concern about Tyler Biadasz is that he's not playing in the middle of two All Pros. Okay, so and also Dorrance Armstrong. Okay, I don't think Dorrance Armstrong came up. I think I called your show. I don't think he's a premier pass rusher. I think he's a 5-6 sack guy when he doesn't have Micah Parsons and number 90 running up and down the field, you know, to draw
yeah,
that attention.
I don't think that anybody reasonably would have expected like Armstrong to be that guy. I don't think that like if somebody was like, Dorrance Armstrong just needs opportunity, he's going to turn into Micah Parsons. That's like Cal Herd used to have this bit, and I remember talking to Colin about this when I was an intern at ESPN in 2011, which will make sense in terms of the players that I'm about to talk to. But he used to do this bit that riled people up where he would talk about Derrick Rose not being LeBron James. And I just remember going to him once and being like, no kidding. And he's like, yeah, but that's not how most people react. Like, you might hear that and go, hey, this is a stupid thing. I'm going to turn off the radio. But a lot of people are going to hear that and go and yell because, like, they think I'm saying Derrick Rose sucks. And what I would say to you is, like, Dorrance Armstrong doesn't suck. But he's, if you're saying he's not Micah Parsons, like, duh. And I think, like, Louvu.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. And like, I want to clarify that to say, like, Dorrance Armstrong, if he's their best rusher 2 years from now, then we have a real problem. But the ability to acquire a premier pass rusher, I just don't think was there for them this offseason.
I agree. But what I've heard on various stations, okay, or shows, was that, okay, if he had 7.5 sacks with Dallas when he was playing half the time, then he should be able to get 11 or 12. He's not that guy. Okay, he is not that guy. I watched Dorrance Armstrong the whole time he was with the Cowboys. He's a serviceable player, and I'm not saying he's a bad player, but the expectations need to be managed. And he didn't play well yesterday, okay? And maybe he'll play well more going on, but the thing that concerns me is that looked like a defense that a Jack Del Rio defense. It looked like more the same of what we had last year, okay, with the, you know, the broken coverages and, you know, giving up points. And it just looked like the same defense.
Gary, I hear you. I'm going to let you run because we got a bunch of more calls. I appreciate the call. It was a good one. And you give, I think, a lot of interesting points to chew on. Here's what I would say with the like, in a vacuum, did that look very familiar in all the worst ways? Yes. But it's weak. This is where context is important to me. And again, I'm not going to tell you how to feel. I'm trying to check myself here on a Vibe Check Tuesday. But for me, why I'm not nearly as concerned is that Tampa team has continuity. And what I think we saw across the entire NFL on Sunday and over the weekend is teams with continuity played really well. And they're probably going to start really well. The question is what happens from here. If those mistakes continue to happen, yeah, we got a problem. But realistically, that's a really good Tampa offensive line that has played together now a lot of it for multiple years. Graham Barton is the one new piece in the middle, but like Tristan Wirfs is one of the best left tackles in football. So if Dorrance Armstrong doesn't have a great day against Tristan Wirfs, okay, what does he do against an average left tackle? Can he be an impact player there? Because unless you're Micah Parsons, I don't expect you to be awesome against Tristan Wirfs. And so there's that element in terms of cohesion, plus some really good game planning, good job by Liam Cohn, plus like good players in places such as the wide receiver position, where we know the Commanders are at the very least a work in progress, if not a team that needs to get some new players next offseason. So that's kind of my spin on it. And if you want to call it spin, fine. I'll live with that. But that's just the context to me that we're living in right now. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Miles. Miles, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's going on, Craig?
What's up, Miles? Appreciate you calling.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm still optimistic for this team, and you know, having a solid season after that loss from the Bucks. I think the only thing I would say, I like Cliff Kingsbury, but I think Terry not touching the ball until the second half is, I mean, that's more or less of Evie and Scott Turner. I mean, of what you said before, like, I just feel like, you know, that our for a team so devoid of weapons, like, not getting our number one wide receiver the ball is, you know, that's a blunder. Like,
yeah, no, Miles, I hear you. I really struggle with this one, Miles, and I appreciate the call, because the truth is that Jaden Daniels had opportunities, multiple ones, and Terry could have easily had a 180-yard game. Like, based off, like, if, I'll use Matthew Stafford again. If Matthew Stafford is the quarterback running the show on Sunday, Terry probably has a 180-yard day, running the same exact routes and just throws that weren't made that get made, and throws that were missed. Obviously, like, one's pretty easy, right? The one on the first play of the third quarter, Jaden is a tremendous deep ball thrower, but he's not a perfect deep ball thrower, because that doesn't exist, and he missed Terry on a 70-yarder. There's another play on a concept called Dagger, and basically the idea is, and a lot of, like, Dagger is something that a lot of y'all have, if you play Madden, you've run it before, and there's this through route where you have one guy scream up the middle of the field, and he hopefully carries a bunch of players with him, and then you have another deep dig that comes behind it. And let me tell you, Anthony, if you play me in Madden, you better be ready, because I'm gonna eat on that deep dig. Eat on it. Because it's a really hard concept to stop. I've thrown plenty of picks on it, too. Then I turn the difficulty level back down. That says more about me as a quarterback in Madden than the concept. But the idea is, like, 9 out of 10 times, that clearing route, that deep route that's supposed to take everybody away, it's dead. And the one coverage, as we, Logan and I were talking about this earlier today, he's like, the one coverage it's alive against is two man. And guess what Tampa ran against Dagger on this particular play, Anthony?
Two man?
They ran two man. And for some reason, Jaden didn't realize it. And there's a couple of good reasons why that you'll hear from Logan 45 minutes from now in the Take Command segment of why that may have happened. It wasn't an unreasonable thing, but he missed him. Matthew Stafford's not missing that. And frankly, Jaden Daniels in 6 weeks is probably not missing that. But he missed it on that play. And that's another big, you know, like 60, 65, 70 yard touchdown potentially. First, third down of the game. Could have easily hit Terry on a crosser. So there's all these plays where he could have. But, 2 miles the caller's point on making sure that he gets the ball. I would like to see Terry force fed one time, just to see what happens, in the same way that Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, and all these top receivers are. Not that I think he is them, but I am curious to see what happens if you get Terry 2-3 screens, a jet sweep, like, quick game where it's like, hey, we're going to 17 here. Like, figure out how to get him the football in high volume. He is your best player. And some of this, yes, you're going to eventually need the quarterback to make the throws. And again, Jaden didn't play poorly. He played what I would say okay. But the areas of potential growth are much tied to the wide receiver position and getting them the football. And I would like to see some of that taken off of Jaden's plate to just say, we are going to get the ball to Terry. We are going to make sure that his energy and his impact and his ability is felt in this game and felt early. So while I say, the way the game was called, Jaden takes on a large share of that blame pie, as is the nature of any quarterback when something in the passing game doesn't go right. That is typically who is at fault. That is not some, you know, any special analysis or certainly anything specific to Jaden Daniels. But I think there is room for, while I liked a lot of what Cliff did, there is room for growth in that area as well. And I think we feel it as people that have been watching this team and Terry's career more intensely, because that has unfortunately been a story of Terry's career versus Cliff going, hey man, it's the first time I've ever called plays for this dude. Relax. And I would get that from Cliff's perspective too. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Got a bunch more calls coming up next. So we will get right back to it on a Vibe Check Tuesday before Mitch Tischler joins us at 5. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday on the Hoffman Show. Team 980 always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Let's get back to the phones right away at 301-230-0980 with Aubrey. Aubrey, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, great to be on. I accidentally hung up on you yesterday, and I do apologize for that.
I appreciate that.
I'm a long-time Skins fan. I'm an old coot. My dad used to take me to see Sonny Jurgensen years ago. So that's how long I've been following the Skins or the Commanders or whatever you want to call them. And I want to tell you what my good vibe is. I got a really good vibe. And I got to share this after listening to some of the other talk radio folks earlier today just almost trashing Jane Daniels. And I just don't understand that, honestly. I know he left a lot of throws on the table, and I think your explanation is excellent, Craig. I really do. And I know all that. But I got to tell you that a lot of folks today that I've heard, or a number of folks, are talking about, you know, well, maybe he's not who we thought he was and blah, blah, blah. Let's just back up a second. And this guy goes into Tampa Bay with a new team, a new coach, a new system, an offensive line he's not sure about. He's playing against Todd Bowles, who's been there for 6 years, 3 years he's been the head coach. Bowles has said he's got the fastest defense he's ever had. You've got a general manager who's been there for 10 years putting together championship teams. They've won three championships. And, no, he didn't have a best game, but let me tell you what he did. He had 270 yards of total offense. He was 17 for 24. He had a 93 passer rating. He had just less than 30 yards less than Baker Mayfield in total offense. So it wasn't exactly a bust. And the reason I'm saying all this is because this is the first game for a rookie quarterback, and I'm just really excited about the future. And by the way, one other thing, and I'll be quiet. But after the game, you had a interview. You had a show where one of the guys from the Junkies was on with you.
Yeah, we did. And, JP joined me on the Take Command post game stream.
Yeah, and I like that crowd. But I got to tell you, he said something that really set me off because he made a statement about, well, you know, Jaden is he wasn't negative, but I can't remember the exact words. But then he brought in the comparison to C.J. Stroud. And he said something about, well, you know, we'll see how Jaden does, but C.J. Strouds don't come across very often. So you know what I did? And maybe somebody's already done this because I can't listen to you or the other one all day because I'm doing other things. But I just, for the fun of it, went back and looked at C.J. Stroud's first game last year as a rookie. Now, he had to play against a tough defense. He went to Baltimore. Okay? But he finished the game with 242 yards passing, 28 for 44, and his offense scored 9 points. And he had a 67 passer rating. Now, my point is that this is the first game for a rookie quarterback, and we don't know where Jaden's going, but I will say this, and then I'll shut up. But if 270 yards of total offense, and I know he left a lot of throws on the table. Everyone's made that clear, and I haven't watched the films like you and Coach Q and others have. But if he's doing 270 yards in that atmosphere in his first game, it gets me really excited to see what's going to happen with this guy as he catches on and catches on and catches on. So my vibe is very good.
Aubrey,
that's what I want to tell you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. Appreciate you listening. As a longtime fan, you've lived a long life, my friend. So I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate the good vibes because what I would say is like what Aubrey says is correct. Like there's a baseline level here that gets me really excited. Or I shouldn't say is correct. I agree with. There's a baseline level of performance that gets me really excited about the future. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the future is going to arrive next weekend. I do think Jaden Daniels will play a lot better against the Giants because the Giants are a lot worse than the Bucks. And systematically, schematically, et cetera, they're a lot simpler to figure out than the mess of nonsense that Todd Bowles throws at you. So it's just a much more straightforward, hey, this is what we're going to do. They also have a much better idea because Shane Bowen's got a lot more tape in terms of what he's been doing in Tennessee. They have 1 week of tape of the Giants and what they did last week to Sam Darnold or tried to do to Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson. So there's just more information. But like you can both be excited about the future, understand the missed opportunities in the present, and realize that that future that you're excited about might take a while. That's life. That's being a human being. That's being a fan, especially with where the Commanders are in their franchise trajectory right now. All right, last but not least, let's go to Montel in Baltimore. Montel, you get the last word here on a Vibe Check Tuesday.
My man, what's going on, fellas? The vibe's a lot better today, as I'm sure it is for a lot of fans. I think some fans need to take that Monday to just process what happened, you know, because everybody a little bit more calmer today. But I'm going to start positive. I think that we moved the ball really well. We missed field goals. We got pressure, but we missed tackles. So I think if they capitalize on some of them plays, it's a different game. And fans are feeling a bit different today than they were, you know, kind of yesterday. You look at the Jets, they lost last night. Their fans are waking up devastated as well. I think that's still going to be a good team. But I do have an issue, and that is, you know, it's not as much as the play or the scheme for that matter, but although I do wish they ran the ball a little bit more, my issue lies with the comfortability of losing. And I don't know if that's just an organizational thing, but I hear that within the fan base now, Montez Sweat said as much. And I know players personally who have said the same about that organization. That doesn't change if that's the vibe around the organization. On Sunday, you're down 3 possessions in the fourth quarter, 4th and 7, and you don't go for it. That's not trying to win in my eyes as a fan. You know what I mean? Not going for 2. That's being comfortable with losing. That's being content. And I think that 2 things can be true at the same time. I think you can build, and I also think you can win. This whole "it's a new regime" thing is starting to become an excuse to me because I saw the Giants in 2022 with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane go out and get to the playoffs with Daniel Jones as quarterback. I saw the Texans do it last year with a rookie quarterback. I saw the Eagles with Nick Sirianni and a new whole staff get to the playoffs. So why is that illegal for Washington to do?
It's like, not. Confused, here's the thing, Montel. It's not illegal. It's hard. And those are exceptions, not rules. I think there's probably a lot more examples of teams like the Lions who were not very good in Dan Campbell's first year, but did compete their asses off. And then they kind of had a really, or not kind of, they had an amazing finish to his second year and then carried that over into what they are now, which is a team that's coming off a NFC championship game year and looks like one of the favorites in the NFC this year. I think because of where the difference I would say is in all those examples is where those given rosters were at the time the new regime took over. This team, this regime took over an empty cupboard. They in fact, not only had an empty cupboard, they had to clean out some food that had been there a little bit too long and put on like a freaking hazmat suit with the way they treated this roster. And so it's, I actually hear you and don't disagree on some of the like, hey, why are you punting in the fourth quarter? The 2-point conversion thing's a little bit more of a wishy-washy decision for me, but I would have gone for 2 and support the idea of going for 2 and kind of having that aggressive mindset in that mold. And if that's who you want to be as an aggressive physical football team, like your decision-making should match that on some level. See Dan Campbell and the Lions. But I would say realistically, Montel, my retort to what you just said and your complaint would be this roster's not good enough to win right now, but there is other stuff they can do. And I think you actually pointed some of that stuff out in terms of the competitive.
I'm sorry. I don't want to take over, but I'm just like, whose fault is that the roster isn't good enough?
Ron Rivera's.
Like, they had their opportunity.
No, they didn't have an opportunity.
We can blame the last guy if we would like to, but we made excuses for him for 4 years as well.
I didn't make excuses. I was very critical of the bad decisions they made in real time. And I think there were a lot of other people as well. But here would be my question quickly, Montel, because we got to go because we got Tischler up next. Is like, what's the move they didn't make that they should have?
I mean, it's hard. You're going to stop me right there. But at the end of the day, there were plenty of things that could have been done. Other teams got better this offseason. Like, you could have gotten better. I mean, do you personally believe that getting rid of Jahan Dawson was the best move?
Yes.
With a rookie quarterback and no weapons?
Yes, because he wasn't good here.
You think that that was
I watched him all camp long. He wasn't good.
Okay. Well, hey, if that's the case, who would, like you said, who's replacing him? We need a replacement if you're going to get rid of somebody.
Well, you can't have a replacement. You don't find replacements in August. You find replacements. This is like, and I, Montel, so, I want you to call back. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to call back tomorrow because I want to talk about this. But I got to let you go right now because I'm 5 minutes over where I should be. But like the thing is, like, when you fans have always wanted a GM that's going to build through the draft. Adam Peters did a lot of stuff in the draft. Draft picks take time. And now you're mad that he is not getting more players? Like, that's not how that works. Like, it's a multi-year rebuild to get your blue chip guys. And by the way, in the time when they were acquiring players, they didn't think wide receiver was going to be as big of a problem because they didn't anticipate Jahan Dotson not taking to the new system. I don't blame them for that. That's a reasonable assumption to think that a first-round pick is going to be, you know, playable. And he wasn't. He wasn't worth it in terms of keeping him compared to saying, like, this dude is going to be a drag on our building because his attitude's not where we want it. And we think we can get equal production out of other players. And so it is when their cupboard's that bare, there's only so many guys you can sign. You don't want to overspend on guys and screw yourself up in the long term. And you got to give some of the young players chances to play. And so we'll talk about this more later in the week. Maybe Montel will call back tomorrow and we'll get going on it. But that's the short version of that. All right, we get back. Mitch Tischler joins us for a Tischler Tuesday on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.